And let us entrust our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Pope St. John Paul's first three encyclicals were dedicated to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His encyclical on the Father was entitled Dives in Misericordia, Rich in Mercy, and that's drawn from the text of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God, who is rich in mercy. That image of richness gives us some thoughts to reflect on. If you've ever been with a rich person who is generous, even a not so rich person, but who had enough money to provide for things so that you didn't have to worry. If you went out and the car broke down, he'd be able to call the tow truck. If you went out and you needed something to eat, or you needed to buy gas, or you needed a hotel room, or you needed a new plane ticket, there was going to be enough to cover for it. When you're with someone who is rich, who has enough, then we feel a security, knowing that everything will be provided for. And this gives us space of freedom, a freedom to explore, a freedom to take risks, freedom to make mistakes. And that's the kind of freedom that we need to really grow in our sonship, daughterhood, as Neil Lozano was talking about in our reading from breakfast. We need that kind of freedom of one who is rich in mercy. Again, I listed a number of material things that could go wrong, and someone who is rich in money is able to provide for material needs. But God is rich in mercy. And it means that if we try and we fail, even if we fail very, very badly, God has enough mercy to restore us. The first words of St. John Paul can strike us again. Do not be afraid. Those words repeated so often in Scripture. Be not afraid. God is rich in mercy. God has plenty to make up for all of our failures, so that we can be courageous, take risks in doing good, in loving. And this is precisely what we see, again, to revisit the parable from yesterday of the prodigal son, a father who is rich enough that when his son demands half the inheritance, his half of the inheritance, he gives it to him. The father doesn't protest. He's not worried. He doesn't exert control over his son and try to manipulate out of him some compromise. We see the father's incredible generosity, willing to give what is asked for. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father. He's not stingy. God is a giver, not a taker. And he's willing to give us what we ask for. That Father who is rich in mercy extends what the son asks for, even at the pain of being asked for his inheritance. We could read that as the son saying, I wish you were dead. I want what's coming to me when you die. You're as good as dead to me. And still the father has no protest. He simply gives his son half the inheritance. This is a father who is rich in mercy. And likewise, when the son returns, apparently the father still has enough. And that's the thing with God our Father. Although we always have this underlying fear maybe this is the last time that I'm going to get away with this. Maybe this is the last time that I can be forgiven for this sin. And we even try to carve our confessions and shape them in rationalizations and excuses, lest God, through the confessor, would hear a sin that was too big for him to forgive, or that he had forgiven enough times. Haven't we made any progress? We expect judgment and accusation when God simply wants to extend his mercy to us, a Father who is rich in mercy. We will never bankrupt him. Take all you want. He'll make more. This space that the Father opens up for us, again, is contrary to the kind of description that Neil provided in our reading this morning that we sometimes have of the Father who's constantly watching us, scrutinizing us, just waiting for us to do something wrong, constantly critical and finding every fault in our decisions, in our actions. God is not suspicious, and he doesn't watch over us like a hawk in order to catch us doing something wrong. He is a Father who is rich in mercy. And so that sense that the Scripture gives, as we were talking about last night, which might even lead to the opposite false conclusion that God is indifferent and he doesn't really care and he lets us go and gives us plenty of space. In reality, he's giving us a space of freedom to make our mistakes, to make our choices, but he's always eagerly watching out for us. And in a certain way, maybe he was sending some of his money to that pig farmer. I don't know how to extend the analogy, but the point is that God was still providing behind the scenes in an anonymous way, so as never to give us the feeling that he's watching us, that he's hovering over us, that he's ready to snatch us back. He gives us the freedom to make mistakes, and likewise, he gives us the space and the freedom to come back to him of our own free choice. It's very important that we're able to receive mercy, likewise, of our own free choice, not have it forced on us, grabbed back by the scruff of our neck and hauled home where we can behave like we're supposed to, but that we're able to come to the realization on our own, it was better before. This is the nostalgia, as Pope Francis described in his Meditation for Priests, that homesickness, that God gives us enough space to let develop in our hearts, a homesickness, a nostos algos, a pain, algos, for the return home, nostos, or in German, Heimweh, home pain, the nostalgia for being home, the longing to be home, our first experience of goodness, when we remember what it was like when we were taken care of, the prodigal son at the great distance and in his self-imposed exile remembers even the servants at home and how they were loved. And this nostalgia brings us back. This nostalgia that we finally experience, perhaps when we reach rock bottom, hopefully we don't have to go that low, when we experience the depths of our own misery and the disaster of what happens when we try to do it on our own, a longing to be again cared for and to be in the presence of the Father. God gives us the space to experience that and to encounter it. He gives us the space to return home. Pope Benedict, in contrast to the nostalgia for something of the past, because the fact is, maybe while there were surely some experiences of goodness, maybe our experience of home was not so great, and we left because we had to get out. But fortunately, even in baptism, God plants a desire, a nostalgia, as Pope Benedict says, for the future. A nostalgia for a home that is yet to be fully experienced, but a home that he has indeed provided for us. A Father that has yet to be fully experienced, but a Father that he is himself for us. A nostalgia for the future. This is the stirring in our hearts, the ache and desire that we can get in touch with, sometimes through our own failures and pain, sometimes through the bankruptcy of our own spending the inheritance in one way or another, until we get in touch with that longing to be truly home and in the presence of a Father who loves us. As we heard in the letter to the Ephesians, God did this for us when we were dead in our transgressions. Because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, makes us think again of that prodigal son, dead in his own transgressions, dead in his departure from home. Dead in our transgressions. We don't always have a good sense of how we've gone astray, but we do get in touch with our desire for mercy and for tenderness. Pope Benedict, when he was asked about the doctrine of justification last fall, he said, "Our minds are so far from this doctrine of justification, the idea that we've somehow offended God and that we owe him a debt that we can never repay. We have more of a sense of wandering on our own and our life being more or less up to us, that we don't really owe God a whole lot of anything. In fact," he said, "our attitude is more often requiring God to justify himself to us. How dare you allow all of this pain and suffering? How dare you allow these things to happen in my life?" We have developed an attitude of requiring justification from God. He said, "We're very far from understanding the kinds of debates over justification that took place in the time of Luther, in the time of the Tridentine Reformation." He said, "But something that is very close to us is a desire for tenderness, a desire for someone who cares, a desire for someone who can see my pain, a desire for someone who can take care of me when I come home." And he said, that desire for mercy is more inherent, is a way that we can rediscover the call for justification in our world today. All of that requires us to get in touch with our misery. We spend a lot of time running from our misery, running from our failures, our weakness, our limitation. We spend a lot of time trying to justify ourselves, trying to live only out of our strengths, not wanting to feel the pain of homesickness, not wanting to feel the pain of thinking that life would be a little better than it actually turned out, that our marriage would be a little better, that our children would be a little better, that our job would be a little better, that we had hopes for things that didn't really work out. We resist getting in touch with that pain, the pain of disappointment and the pain of failure, the pain of others having failed us and the pain of us having failed ourselves. But it's precisely by getting in touch with that misery, remember that Latin word for mercy, misericordia, that we can encounter God's heart, a heart for our misery. Pope Francis gives us this beautiful image in The Return of the Prodigal Son. He says, notice when the son comes home, he's very much in touch with his misery. He's clothed with it. He stinks like pigs. He's dirty. He's filthy. And there's no way to hide it. He's ready to become a servant in the Father's house, and he has nothing to say for himself. He's only hoping for the Father's mercy. And what does the Father do? "Oh man, you stink. Go take a shower." No, the Father immediately reaches out to him right in the midst of his misery. He doesn't ask him to kind of clean it up, spruce it up, make it go away. He wraps a robe right around that misery, right around his dirty body. And now the son is there in this mystified state of being totally aware of his misery and filth, his brokenness, his pain, his disappointment, his failure. And he's clothed in royal dignity, clothed with the Father's robe, wearing the Father's ring on his finger. And this is what happens when we allow ourselves to get in touch with our misery, but also learn to bring that misery to God's mercy. And then the very place of our greatest fear and the depths of our emptiness and pain, that place in us where we were ready to give up and let go and forget it all, becomes the very place where we meet him, the place where we meet Christ crucified, who has taken all of that pain and misery on himself, and yet he's filled with the riches of the Father's mercy. Pope Francis said, this becomes the way that we are able to carry mercy, the riches of mercy. How do we carry the riches of the Father's mercy? He entrusts, he has a daddy money bags, has all of this richness in mercy that he wants to give to us, that we want to receive, but how do we carry it? He says we carry it right in the pockets of our misery. We carry it right in the areas of our misery that are vessels of mercy. We fill up the pockets of our misery with God's mercy. And in this way, mercy and misery are always touching each other. And so we are able to give that mercy to others, but when we reach into our pockets, we know that those are the very pockets of our own failure. We never have the delusion of thinking that we have somehow made this for ourselves, that we are so great in ourselves that we can communicate mercy to others, that we can live out of that compassion and have eyes of mercy for others. We're always aware of our own brokenness, and that it's precisely in that state, our brokenness and littleness, that God has bent down to be with us. As a father, he has gathered us into his arms. Over our dirty bodies, dirtied with our own failures and sins, he has put this royal robe of dignity. And this is the tension that we live in. As Pope Francis describes it, an embarrassed dignity, a dignified embarrassment. At the same time that we know our own poverty on our own, we know God's abundant grace and mercy, both together. He said, our temptation is always to fall to one side or the other, to get lost in our poverty, and we hide ourselves like Adam in the garden, or to get lost in our dignity, and to think that we're somehow amazing and that we've done this for ourselves. But the true saint is like Peter, who knows at the same time his own failure, the worst failure of betraying a friend. When Jesus says to him 3 times, do you love me? Reminding him of his threefold betrayal. And yet he also says, feed my sheep, be Pope, having this greater dignity. This is the tension that we remain in when we're aware of our own misery and we're able to receive the Father's mercy, an embarrassed dignity, a dignified embarrassment. And then we remain in a place of humility, not exalted in pride because God has clothed us with a robe, not lost in self-deprecation, beating ourselves up in self-condemnation because we know that our bodies are dirty with sin, but we're able to remain right in the balance of that. Failure, poor, lost, but also loved, provided for, and found. We have a Father who is rich in mercy and who creates spaces for us. Spaces to take risks, spaces to try, spaces to love. Not hovering over us to control us, but giving us the space to go out as little children, and yet always knowing that we're watched over and cared for. When we get a little too far away from home, we know how to find it again. And we know a Father will be waiting for us with his hand able to provide for everything that we've messed up, or to celebrate everything that we've invested well. A Father who is able to love us and to receive us. And so it helps us to find these spaces within us, to find the spaces of misery, and to bring those to our prayer, to come to prayer not with an attitude of how much we've impressed God by all of our achievements, but rather to go with empty pockets, those pockets of misery, to go with the places that we've failed, that we feel weak and poor, that we feel unable to achieve, where we've experienced our fear and our brokenness, where we've made efforts and they haven't worked out, the places that we feel alone and afraid, to open those up, their pockets that he wants to fill with his mercy, that he wants to fill with his tenderness. When we can go to him in the lowest place, even that place of darkness and emptiness within us, places that we don't like to see, it's good to take the light of Christ already into those places, to let his love accompany us into those dark holes. It reminds us of the experience of Mother Teresa, who felt the call very deeply to go into the holes of the poor, and she did that in a material way. But what became evident after her death and the discovery of her journals was that she did that also in a spiritual way. She went by her own experience of abandonment into the very dark holes of feeling completely helpless, feeling radically the absence of God, and yet entering into that space where so many of the poor that she interacted with lived all the time, as they felt by their material poverty, by the rejection of relatives, of society, that they were useless and cast off. They felt that inner darkness within them that Mother Teresa also experienced very deeply, even for her whole lifetime. And by entering into that, she was able to enter into their space and just touch those places. She was able to minister to them, not as one who was condescending in order to help them, but as a sister who shared the darkness and the pain, the abandonment with them that they also experienced deep in their hearts. When we're able to take the light of Christ's love into those dark places in us and allow his light to shine, allow his richness and mercy to fill our empty pockets, allow him to pour his precious blood into the vessels of mercy, our own misery that can hold his mercy, then we start to fill up more and more from the inside. One mystic described purgatory as that place where all of the empty spaces in us are filled with love. And again, to take that image into prayer, to go into prayer as a place where we expose the empty places in us, not covering them up, the places that we feel ugly, the places that we feel unlovable, the places that we've been rejected by so many others, those are the places that need to be touched by the Father's love. Those are the places that we need to bring to him in our prayer. We can anticipate our entry into purgatory, our purification and sanctification by bringing those empty places to him and letting him touch them and fill them with his love. As St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God has taken poor, little, broken sinners and has raised us up with him and given us a space in heaven. He doesn't relegate us to some lower place. He doesn't give us second place. But no matter what we have done, no matter what we have failed to do, the only place that he gives us, the only place available, is the place next to him, is the place next to the Father, is the place in Christ in heaven. No matter who we are, even to the last moment of our life, that place is the one that he is always offering us if we are willing to take him up on that. He doesn't force us. He doesn't threaten us. He gives us space to choose. Pope Francis pointed out very beautifully in the story of the woman caught in adultery. There's a lot of discussion, you know, about Jesus writing on the ground. What did he write on the ground anyway? What were those words? If I only knew what those words were, that would unlock the meaning of the whole story. And there are some wonderful suggestions, provocative suggestions for that. But Pope Francis said the important thing was that he was creating space. He proposed a question. He received the condemnation of the Pharisees, and he first wrote on the ground. And then he proposed a question. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Are any of you without sin? That question. And then again, he creates space, simply bending down and writing on the ground. And this is the gentleness of the Lord. He creates spaces in us to face our own condemnations on the part of the Pharisee, a space to accept non-condemnation on the part of the adulterous woman, a space to choose mercy, not forcing us, not rushing us, not throwing us off, scaring us into a decision. God creates space so that we can use our freedom simply to choose him. You've accepted the invitation that he's given you to take up the space of this weekend, a space of silence, a space of freedom, a space to look at those areas of misery, emptiness, pain, suffering, failure, disappointment, to look at those spaces within you and just to show them to the Father, to open up your empty hands and allow him to fill them with the riches of his mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of your mercy, sharing your richness in mercy with us, filling our pockets of misery with your abundance. Give us courage to look into those places in us that have yet to be filled. Help us to overcome the fear that even you don't have enough to fill those places in us. And help us to receive even more deeply, more fully of your mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And the Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.